Hello, this is Adventures with My 40s, the podcast that doesn't have show intro music because I've just got too much other shit going on in my life. I'm your host, Courtney Henning Novak, a 44-year-old woman, and today we're going to be talking about Bitches Love Witches because this is the episode before Halloween, and I've been reading some witchy books lately and loving them, so I want to talk about witches. And bitches love witches, it rhymes. I was just checking the phrase on Amazon and no one's written a book called Bitches Love Witches. And now I'm like, I've got a book I'm gonna write and some shirts. So, trademarking this saying, am I allowed to do that? Okay, so today's my first day caffeine free. I did get myself a nice decaf coffee. I took the kids to school, went to Target, and I'm trying to drink a lot less Starbucks because damn. It is expensive. It's like my iced decaf drink has gone up from like a 3.25 or something to 4.25, and it's like there's just something about a $4 drink that feels like too much. So I guess I could get a tall, but what's the point? That's three sips. So, but I'm like, okay, Target, that's a special experience. I'm allowed to get myself an iced decaf Americano to walk around the aisles. It's so wonderful with both kids in school to just go by myself. I think the last time I went to Target, I had the kids because I needed to get something. Maybe it was back to school shopping or someone needed a shirt or something. At Target with kids, not ideal. Maybe with one kid because you can focus on the one kid, but two competing concerns, no thank you. But Target this morning with my beverage, oh, so good. So I'll have the smidge of coffee, a smidge of caffeine that's in a decaf coffee. But I'm off caffeinated soda, and that is my poison. I'm also today is the first day. Yesterday, I've been weaning slowly, and yesterday it was literally 1 ounce of diet soda that I stole from Nathan's bottle, and that was it. And today I woke up and I feel free. It's a relief. God, soda is so expensive these days. I don't want to spend $30 on soda or more a week. I'd rather save that money and get a massage. Or spend it on a museum membership. There's so many other ways to spend that money. And so my new goal is to break up with soda entirely. I have been buying caffeine-free diet soda, and I'm ready to be done with diet soda and just pouring chemicals into my body and spending all that money and the hassle, because I love just running into Trader Joe's, but you can't get like caffeine-free diet Pepsi at Trader Joe's. It's just not there. So it's the hassle. Like I have to make a special trip to another store. It's bulky. It's heavy. It takes up all this space first in the shopping cart, then my car, then my home. So I'm really ready to just be done with soda and drink a lot more water and some tea and decaf coffee. So wish me luck. I think I'm going to put it on my 24 in 24 projects. One of the projects will be a soda-free year. And while I'm doing it, I might like really restrict my carbonated drinks too. Like I don't want to substitute soda for LaCroix or some other bubbly drink. It just perpetuates the problem. I just want to drink water and put a squeeze of lemon juice in it and call it a day. After I record this episode, I'm going to go to hot yoga and hoping that goes well because I had a weird calf injury earlier this week and it's just you're 44. And your body, you sometimes just even think like my shoulder might hurt, and then it does. I was at tennis though, and I was lunging after a ball, and my right calf just spasmed like a Charlie horse. And then it froze into that like spasm. And so I had to like swallow my ego and tell like my classmates and my teacher, like, I gotta go on the side and work out this cramp. But I couldn't. I was stretching, I was walking, I was wiggling it. And like my leg was like in the ultimate Charlie horse cramp. So I'd gotten an hour out of a 90-minute class. So it wasn't the end of the world. So I went home and it was bad all day. I had book club and I was like limping to book club. I was limping to pick the kids up from school. I was heating it. I was using Icy Hot and it just, and I sensed like it's just like a Charlie horse and I'll sleep. And that'll let the muscles relax as much as possible, and it'll be a lot better in the morning. And it was. Wednesday, it was a lot better. Still had trouble. My kids, their school's on a hill. So I park lower down the hill and walk up to get them because we all three of us hate Carline. It is the devil's playground. And walking up that steep hill was tough, but everything else was okay. And stairs were tough that day. And then yesterday it was even better. And today it just feels like a little like tight, but hot yoga should help with that. But I will warn the teacher before. There's like two poses I think of, triangle, and then this pose called awkward, where you're standing with your feet like 6 inches apart, and then you crouch down into like a prolonged squat. That my calf might revolt during that pose, but I think overall the class will be good. Hopefully next week I'm not recording an episode about needing like calf muscle surgery. All right, let's talk about bitches love witches. And yeah, I've come to the idea of doing this episode because I'm just loving books that have stories about witches who aren't evil. Like one book I read recent, like I think last year, was called The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches. And there was a lot of stuff about like the witches being in hiding and having to hide like their power, but it was basically a love story. And so it wasn't very dark or heavy. But more recently, I just finished Venco by Cherie Dimaline. And Venco is the letters for coven or coven. Oh God, I always mispronounce that word. We're gonna go with coven because my first instinct was probably wrong. It's those letters rearranged. Now I'm gonna be self-conscious and try to not use that word for the rest of this episode. And, I love these stories that, like, I feel like they rescue the witches from like the idea of the Salem witch trials and the Wicked Witch of the West. Speaking of the Wizard of Oz, that is my first redemption witch story that I know of, because you've got the Wizard of Oz, where you have the Wicked Witches of the West and the East, who are just pure evil, and then you have Glinda, who is pure goodness and like travels as a big bubble. And at some point, I might have been a teenager, maybe my 20s, I read Wicked by Gregory Maguire, which is the book that is now the amazing musical. I have listened to that musical so many times. I've seen it twice. I would say it's my favorite, but that feels like a betrayal to the Phantom of the Opera, so maybe they're tied. And in the musical and in Gregory Maguire's book, The Wicked Witch of the Witch is Elphaba. And Gregory Maguire's books, I've read a bunch of his books until at some point, like I loved the retelling of stories like Cinderella and The Wizard of Oz, but at some point they just didn't work for me. They just weren't the stories I liked. There was something about like the tone or maybe the way the stories went that I didn't enjoy. So I haven't read a lot of his books recently, but I do remember when I read Wicked that it's a bit of a redemption story for Elphaba slash Wicked Witch of the West, but not completely. Like his stories are very dark and complicated, and most people are messed up in them. But the musical, which is the one I really love, and the musical did what I wanted the book to do, and it makes Elphaba much more good, and just and you know, it just shows her side of the story and that she's how someone who's working for good can be cast as evil. So that's the story that really helped me fall in love with there's like, to me, like there's a mini genre of books and stories that like are redemption stories for witches. But I was thinking about it, and I am an overthinker, and I have a tendency, I don't want to talk about something like on the podcast or write a blog post about it until I'm an expert, and I need to work on that. I need to show my work and be like, this is something I'm thinking about and reading about and figuring out, and I'm not an expert. And I felt like before I could do this episode, I was like, maybe I'll do it next October or in 3 Octobers after I've had a chance to like become an expert on the Salem witch trials and on how witches were hunted in the Middle Ages. And I was like, no, I don't have to be an expert on everything to have an opinion. Like, the opinion here is I think stories that reclaim the power of women are amazing. And I'm focusing on witch stories today, but I also love like the retelling of Greek mythology. Like I just, last month I read Clytemnestra. That's a tough one to pronounce. And oh my God, it was just gorgeous. And there's Circe, and there's so many good ones I've read where these are women who, I even read one about, is it called Stone Blind that came out this year? Where I mean, it's letting you be like, oh my God, Medusa, maybe Medusa wasn't as evil as we've been led to believe. So I love these stories that, you know, retell and reclaim the stories of women. But we're gonna focus on witches today. So I'm not an expert. I feel like I was a history major, and if I had, and I went then to law school, but if I had gone and tried to get a PhD in history and become a professor at some obscure college in the middle of nowhere, I feel like this would be such an amazing area to research. And I kind of hope some history major, hopefully female, listens to this episode and says, yeah, I'm going to do my thesis on witches and how history has slandered women, or how witches were a tool of the patriarchy as another way to oppress women and keep them in line and, you know, keep them barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. And, you know, you can't, because you got to, I really want to read up on Salem and the witch trials. So I did do, though, a little research, and by a little, I mean dipping into Wikipedia, and was interested, like, well, how does Wikipedia define witchcraft? Because I'm really drawn to these stories that reclaim witches, but I'm like, well, you know, maybe that isn't such a radical thing after all. Maybe, you know, witch is just a magical woman, and it's not a big deal whether you're making a witch a good character or a bad character. It's like, you know, it's not such a big deal that in Harry Potter, the girls are witches and the boys are wizards. And that is, I know that's just a whole other like podcast series, so I'm not going to try to dive into gender and J.K. Rowling and all those complications. But so I check on Wikipedia, and no, I was actually right to think that women and witches are considered evil, because I'm going to quickly read you part of the definition. Witchcraft, as most commonly understood in both historical and present-day communities, is the use of alleged supernatural powers of magic. Okay, that's neutral, could go either way. A witch is a practitioner of witchcraft. Traditionally, witchcraft means the use of magic or supernatural powers to inflict harm or misfortune on others. And this remains the most common and widespread meaning. So I'll stop there. I'll post a longer bit of the definition on my show notes. But yeah, that's what I love about these books that I've been reading. Another good one was Her Majesty's Royal Coven. Oh shit, I really should have looked this one up before. And then a couple of years ago, I read in October, I'm always drawn to witchy books in October, The Once and Future Witches by Alex E. Harrow. And I loved, that was another one that focused on the Salem witch trials, and like a bunch of witches went underground during the witch trials, and it was them like resuming their mantle of power. And I love these feminist stories that are using witches as a metaphor for women opposing the patriarchy. Because you think of a witch, think of like the Wicked Witch of the West with the green face, the ugly crone, wearing the weird pointy black hat. And they live in isolation somewhere on like a lonely mountain deep in the woods, and they're evil. And there's this idea of the, like, you read these fairy tales, the Hansel and Gretel stories, or I'm even thinking of Brave, the Disney movie where the mom gets turned into a bear, and there's the witch living away from society in the woods. And I hate that idea that like a woman is not allowed to leave the community, because if she does that, then damn it, she must be a witch. And if she's a witch, she must be evil. And she has a cauldron, and she's like, you go back to Macbeth and Shakespeare's witches who are pure evil, you know, talking about Eye of Newt. And you know, I heard something interesting on TikTok about how these people assume it's actually the eye of a newt and animal parts, and that like back in Shakespeare days, those would have referred to actual plants, and those were names for plants. So, interesting. So, I just, you can imagine like women who were just using herbal remedies, midwives, and then people blaming, calling them a witch, and then presuming this is evil. It takes away women's knowledge, women's intuition, their power, their right to step outside of the patriarchy and just live the life that they want to live. So, I'm just really, I want to be a person who is bitches love witches. Like, let's bring back the witches. And, I haven't watched Hocus Pocus in years. I think I'm going to watch it this weekend with my kids. I think they're old enough to see it. And, I'm going to enjoy it. Like, I know that they're evil and they want to like eat a kid or, you can, you, I'm not trying to like say witches shouldn't be allowed to be used as the evil villain in a story, because but I think it's great that we're making the character of a witch. We like the collective, like the writers, the storytellers are like, sure, a witch could be evil in some stories. You can have Hansel and Gretel. Like, are you going to try to write a redemption story for the witch and Hansel and Gretel? That's going to be tricky because she wanted to eat the kids, and that shit is evil. Like, we don't eat kids, not people kids, okay? If you want to eat veal, that's a different, another podcast episode. But we don't eat children who are lost in the woods. We don't lure them in with candy houses. And if you want to have a character like that, that's fine, because I mean, of course, I'm just so fascinated by stories. I'm not an expert, but I want to learn more about like folklore and mythology, and the whole world is just so vast. So trying to become an expert in all of it, that's impossible. But you can have evil witches, and not all witches need to be redeemed. But it's cool to look at it by looking at the stories of witches. Then you can look at other historical characters who might have been maligned and female or male, and be like, well, what is the other side of the story? What else is going on here? Life is really complicated. And I am choosing to embrace the idea of bitches love witches because I think witches are awesome, that they can do magic. That is so cool. Why should we assume that just because a woman does magic, it's evil? Because that is like the traditional common widespread meaning, is like if you're a witch and you're doing magic, it must be evil. And yet the idea of a wizard, like, well, some wizards are evil, but some wizards are good. I don't like that women are called witches and then they're automatically evil. It's, it's a whole idea of now of whether, magic, whether you believe in it or not. And I'm not saying I believe in magic where people can fly or that sort of shit, but I do believe like magic is an idea for, could be a way to understand the divine, the mysteries of life, or that there is some magic to the universe and stuff we don't understand. Just like how you think of something, and then you think of something random, like you're thinking about pomegranate, and then you see someone later that day wearing a shirt with a pomegranate on it. Like, what's going on there? Like, that's just so random. And it's those sorts of things that make me think about, like, there is little bits of magic like sprinkled around the world. So yeah, I'm a bitch and I love witches, and I love the idea of a woman who was able to say, I don't need to be married. I don't need a man protecting me, and going off into the woods with bubbling potions and making not all evil potions. And I don't know. I really would love to read up more on the Salem witch trials, and I'll come back when I've done that. The hysteria, the blaming of women, like, they're say like I was reading up on very briefly on some theories about what happened there, and there's like, of course, mass hysteria, and then the idea maybe some people were actually ate some sort of hallucinogenic mushrooms, and then just decided to blame women. And so I do love the idea of these women, these witch redemption stories, because witches have been like the scapegoats, like the, you know, you have the Salem witch trials, you have all the stuff that happened in the Middle Ages. Just the idea of like, here's something and we don't understand it, but we're gonna blame a woman. Like, it must be that this woman over here is evil. And I'm choosing to see witches as more powerful and just in touch with the divine and their intuition and their strength and their, you know, ability to just kick ass. And yeah, when I have, I know I'll have more time in about 5 years when my kids are older and Pippa's in high school and Julian's like, you know, in junior high. I know they're not going to want as much as me. And so I like to follow my curiosity, and I know like at some point I'll look back at this podcast and at my blog and be like, oh, these are things that have like hooked my curiosity over the years, and I don't have time right now to like sit for 3 hours a day and read history books and take notes. But that love of that curiosity is still there. And I'm really interested in the stories that reclaim women, whether you're reclaiming the story of a witch like the Wicked Witch of the West, or a Greek mythological character who, you know, like Clytemnestra, and that's Agamemnon's wife, and she kills him. And so she's basically depicted as this shrew, as like a jealous bitch, and he comes back from the war with with like a concubine or like a, I don't know, like a slave or something, and she's jealous, so she kills him. And if you dive into Clytemnestra, I don't want to ruin that book because it was so good, but her story, there's a lot of little threads that, you know, ways that Agamemnon like was abusive and very violent with her and hurt the people in her life. And like, if you, there's different versions of the Trojan War and how Agamemnon in some of these versions might have actually sacrificed one of his daughters, one of Clytemnestra's daughters, with him, to get wind for the Greek ships to get to Troy. And you know, if you're like, you know, you don't kill, like murder is never the answer. It was recently Pippa and Julia were talking, and Pippa goes, "Violence is usually not the answer," and everyone's like, "What?" And I think she'd heard it on a TV show, but. But it's sort of, but it's a good explanation. Like, if the husband, if Agamemnon had killed one of his daughters and sacrificed her in a brutal way to get winds for his ships, like that's some bullshit. And yeah, I can stand behind a queen who avenges her murdered daughter. So I love how I go from Elphaba and the Wicked Witch of the West to Agamemnon and the Trojan War. But that's the way my brain works. So, heading into Halloween, we have trick-or-treating next week, and I am excited to look out for any witchy decorations. We don't have witchy decorations. We decorate with tombstones, cobwebs, and ghosts. And maybe next year I need to like find a way to incorporate some witches into our decorations. I do have a cool witch hat that has like orange detailing on it, so I'll probably wear it on Halloween night just to like let my inner witch go. And I have to say, as I'm talking about bitches love witches and like reclaiming witch stories, I don't know a lot about modern witches and Wicca and paganism. It'll pop up in my TikTok feed sometimes with a woman talking about like ways to ward the house. And you know, so I don't want to like belittle any of that. I don't know about it. I don't think it's my jam. I think I'm more interested in historical witches and like the Salem witch trials. And you know, they were mostly, they were hung. They weren't burned there, but I think they burned them in the Middle Ages. I'm interested in the way that the idea of witches was used to control women and to fit them into the patriarchy's mold. And how there's great stories being written that rescue the witches and show feminist witches and badass witches. And you know, you don't have to follow the patriarchy. You don't have to, like, you're allowed to lean into your intuition. You don't have to always, like, defend yourself in a masculine way, with, you know, nothing wrong with logic, but sometimes you're like, I don't want to do this because I don't want to do this, and my gut's telling me no. And, like, as a woman, I'm like, that is reason enough right there. Like, listen to your gut, listen to your intuition. Tap into your own magic and your own power. Bitches love witches. Happy Halloween, folks. And I don't know if I'll have an episode next week, because between Halloween and it's Julian's birthday, and we're surprising the kids with a trip to California Adventure on his birthday, and then we have the school carnival. So next week is like my motherhood Olympics. So I might be off next week. Then again, if everyone stays healthy, I might be back and you'll hear me rambling from the motherhood trenches, my motherhood Olympics. But if not, I'll be back the next week. And sending out love and witchy vibes. Bye.